Welcome to the Shiur on Lakut HaSichas Chelek Yud Ches Koyrach Aleph. This Sikha is a true classic, and it goes in a certain genre of the Rebbe's teachings that deal with, liberate, elevate, bring out the positive of some of those most troubling characters in Tanakh and in Chazal. There's actually a whole chapter that deals with this genre in the book Positivity Bias, and in there, this Sikha is restated as well. In this Sikha, we're going to see the positive aspect of Korach. We're going to learn from the 250 people who were with Korach and the 300 Kohanim Gadolim in the second Beis HaMikdash. So we're dealing with about 551 people here, and we're going to bring out the great Mila and the advantage of all of these people who normally we are so critical about. The foundation of the Sikha is that the Torah cannot, there's one Torah, and there is a synergy, or better said, there is a unity between all the different parts, interpretations of Torah, the Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Soid. So by Korach, we find that in Lukutei Torah, the Alter Rebbe, and in Chelek HaSoid Sheba Torah, discusses a very high level of Korach. A Korach who can see into the future, who understands what the Arizal says, that in the future the Levim are going to become Koyanim. And Korach's problem is simply that he's trying to make this happen right now. He's ahead of his time in a sense. If this is the case in Pnimius HaTorah, so that has to be somewhat synthesized, and it has to be alongside, it has to reflect itself in Pshat of Torah as well. Because in Pshat, it seems to us that Korach is not a good guy at all. And in Soit, Korach is somebody who has a very high level of sight and wants essentially Moshiach, but he wants it too early. So that the foundation of the Sikha is that we have to, if Chelek HaSoid of Torah is telling us that this is who Korach is. We have to see this, and it has to be reflected in the Chelek HaPshat of Torah as well. In order to truly understand who Korach is according to Pshat, the Rebbe asks three questions and essentially points out three ideas. The first is that these 250 people who come with Korach, they weren't fools. They knew they were Nesi'e Eda. They themselves knew that, and they witnessed not long before Nadav and Avihu take the Keteris and bring a unasked for an unauthorized Keteris, and they died. So why do 250 people agree to the test of Moshe? They already know that if it's unauthorized, they know what the outcome is going to be. Yet they agree. It's in itself mysterious. Number two, and the Rebbe really drives home the message of the Sikha in these few words. When Moshe responds to the 250 people offering them to bring the Keteris, he says something very, very interesting. He says, "Hey lachem, avoido shichaviva minakel." He says, "You guys want? I'm going to give you, you know, here, take one of the greatest avoidas." But then he says, "Ein lanu ela Hashem echot." Listen, we only have one God. The Kohen Gadol echot. There's only one Kohen Gadol. And he says, "V'atem reish nun ish mevakshim kahuna gedola." You 250 people, y'all want kahuna gedola. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, "Af ani reitze bekach." I too want kahuna gedola. So, if Korach is such a bad guy, and if the whole rebellion is so off, if the 250 people are so off, how could Moshe even lend credence? How can he say, "You know what? I also want it. I'm also would like to bring the Keteris." So here we see already that there must be, it's not such a bad thing to want to bring the Keteris. The Rebbe is going to Firoz. And the third question, a very interesting question, is that the whole concept of a rebellion against Moshe and a denunciation of Moshe as a prophet. That Hashem, like Moshe says, the people, he's kind of in his paraphrasing, but the people, he says, Lo Hashem Shlochani, Hashem has not sent me, Ki Malibi, I made this up in all of my heart. First of all, Moshe was promised by Hashem, V'gam b'cho yaminu lo'ilom. Number one is that he has avtacha, that the people will see, Hine anoichi bo alach b'avon, and Hashem says, I'm going to come, and I'm going to speak to you in the thick of the cloud, and the people will hear, and they'll believe in you forever. He has Hashem's promise, they're going to believe in you forever, number one. Number two, or furthermore, not only does he have Hashem's promise, but as a matter of fact, the Rambam tells us that the reason that we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu is because our eyes saw it. In other words, not because just Hashem gave him avtacha, but einenu ro'u v'loizar, our eyes saw Hashem speaking to Moshe. Ozneinu shamanu v'loyacher, our eyes, our ears heard Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. So even mitzad haseichel, how could it be that the people just decide, no, he's not an Avi Hashem. He's Yimilibi. He's making it all up. He's making it all up. And you know, this is even Mitzad HaSeichel. The Rambam tells us that if a future prophet comes and he says he has a new prophecy that is not in alignment with the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, so we know not to believe him. Because we know, not because of signs, not because of anything else, but because we were present, we ourselves are witnesses to Moshe Rabbeinu's power of prophecy, to Moshe Rabbeinu being the prophet, the Navi Hashem. So how does the whole rebellion of Korach, how does it all make sense? In the context of the people know each and every Yid is a witness to the communication between Hashem and Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu. These are three questions. Why did they agree to bringing Ktiras? They knew that the Nadav and Aviah died from the Ktiras. How could Moshe Rabbeinu himself lend credence and strengthen the rebellion, it seems, by saying, Afani Roitze Bekach? And what is it, in general, how could there be a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, the Navi Hashem, when he has a Havtacha, which is Hashem's promise, and he has each and every Jew as witness that he is the Navi Hashem. Thus, we have to a little bit reframe the story and reframe our understanding of Korach's complaint. Primarily, this third question, this idea that every Jew knows that Moshe Rabbeinu was the prophet, and Hashem had promised him, "V'gam b'cho yaminu lo'ilam, the people believe in you forever," drives us to say that the Korach is at the heart of his claim is not claiming that Moshe is not a prophet, and that what Hashem that what Moshe is doing is not instructed by Hashem. That is not the complaint for Korach according to Pshat. What is Korach saying? What is Korach's complaint? Korach is trying to change the reality, if it were. He's saying, yes, Hashem said, true, Hashem said that Aaron, that he should point Aaron and it'll be Kohanim and so on. However, Korach believes that this is something, a reality which is subject to change. Similar to the whole idea of tefillah, the whole idea of prayer, that when a person davens to Hashem, he can actually be mevatel gzar din, he can nullify the decree, a divine decree. So Korach's rebellion, in other words, is Korach saying, we want to change the rules. We want to be Kohanim. We want to be Kohanim Gedolim. We want everybody to be a Kohen Gadol. So, in other words, Korach is trying to change the rules. He's not saying that the rules aren't divine rules. As a matter of fact, the kuhuna itself is given to the Kohanim because of a change. Originally, the the Levium were supposed to be originally the Bechayrim were going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And it was taken away from the Bechayrim because of the Chet HaEgel. And it's given to the Kohen. So the Kohuna itself was transferred because of the circumstance, because of the chait. And Korach now has an additional complaint. He has an additional reason why he feels he should be the Kohen Gadol as opposed to Aaron. Aaron Vinishtvi was involved on this somehow. Was brought into the Chet HaEgel. He had a certain rabbi said he had a gewisse shaykhus. He had some shaykhus to the Chet HaEgel, which is the whole reason that the kohun is taken away from the Bukhairis and given to the entire Shevet Levi had no shaykhus to the Chet HaEgel. So here Korach is trying to launch a complaint. He's trying to lead a rebellion, and he has already haigoyim. So, again, we've reframed. Korach is not denying the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach is protesting and trying to change the fact from Aaron being the Kohen Gadol to they should all be Kohenim Gedolim. That's Korach's rebellion. Change the fact. He has an objection. And he has a reason. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he restates the objection, when he davens to Hashem to open the earth, he says that im kumois kol adam, if the people die in regular fashion, it's not me, ki milibi. Moshe Rabbeinu is understands the objection as a personal attack on the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's because Moshe Rabbeinu, in his humility, believes that perhaps this is indeed an attack on Moshe's power of prophecy. Hashem told him, Megam Mecha Yaminu Lo'ilam. But Moshe, in his great humility, feels, Shem Yigre Mechet, Shem Agora Mechet. Maybe because he sinned, maybe he's not deserving anymore of this protection of Hashem, of the God Mecha Yaminu Lo'ilam. But that's only in Moshe's restatement. But in Korach's Taina, we don't find this message that, no, he's not a Navi Hashem. Korach is trying to make the Levium should also be Kohanim Kohanim Gedolim. He's trying to give the Kohuna to everybody. That's our first reframing of Korach's rebellion. It's to make everybody Kohanim. It's not an attack on Moshe Rabbeinu. The 250 people, they also all wanted to be a Kohen Gadol. Perhaps Korach himself, he wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. But the 250 people, they all want to be the Kohen Gadol. When Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to them, Rashi tells us, he says, "V'atam reish nun ish, you 250 people, you're all asking to be the Kohen Gadol. They're all asking to be the Kohen Gadol. They all want to be. What are they asking? What are they seeking? What do they want? They're not here to take down Moshe Rabbeinu. They're here because they want to be Kohen Gadol. And they're wanting to be Kohen Gadol is not because they want to be in charge of others, because they want to be a Srara Klai Yisrael, they want to be at the leadership of Klai Yisrael. It's because they want to have the experience of a Kohen Gadol who is separated, in the Lashon of the Rambam, that he is Oymed Lefnei, or the Lashon of the Pasuk, sorry, he's Oymed Lefnei Hashem Lashar, so he stands before God to serve Hashem, separated from all, and distinguished and exclusively there to serve Hashem. They want to have the experience of Kodesh Kadosh. That's what they're seeking. They want to have the holy, intimate, one experience with the divine of Kodesh Kadoshim, of completely designated and dedicated to serve Hashem. So here, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Af ani roitze bekach. This that you want to be Kohen Gadol, that's not a bad thing. Not only that, it's a good thing to want to be Kohen Gadol, to want to be designated, to stand before Hashem, to have the separation from the rest of the world, lahavdiloi kodesh kodesh, to be separated, removed from the world, holy of holy. That's a great thing. Af ani roitze bekach. I also want it. That's a positive thing. It's a positive thing. What was the problem? The problem was that they so strongly desired to have the experience of Kohuna Gedoila, the great experience, a lofty experience, almost like Nadav and Avihu, that they were willing to bring the Ketores, knowing, having observed Nadav and Avihu dying, bringing the Ketores, but just to have the chance one time in their life to bring the Ketores, they were so driven, they were so passionate about connecting with the Eibishter on the deepest level, that they were willing to go too far. They were willing to give it all, to lose their lives, in order to bring the Keteres, which is further than one is supposed to go. So we've turned the 250 rebellers with Koirach into Nadav and Avihu-like people. And now we have a Gemara in Masechta Yuma. In Masechta Yuma tells us that in the second Beis Hamikdash, in 420 years, there were 300 Koyanim Gedolim. The Gemara breaks it down even more because ultimately, most of those, about 295 of those, served over 300 years. Each year, because they were undeserving, they would not live out the year, because they used to pay Rome for the position of being Kohen Gadol. So imagine, the first year, guy paid for the position, he didn't live out the year. The second year, the third year, 300 years. Narvos. It wasn't just that they paid Rome to be the Kohen Gadol, and they saw everybody subsequently die, and they decided they're also going to be the Kohen Gadol. Just to be Kohen Gadol, just to have the Kodesh HaKadoshim experience, they were willing to give it their all. So we've just redeemed 550 people, 250 Koirach's rebellers, 300 Koyanim Gedolim in the second Beis Hamikdash. We put them together with Nadav and Avihu, Koirach himself. All a desire to be Kohen Gadol, which is a good thing. Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, Af ani roitze bekach. I also want to be Kohen Gadol. It's a good thing. You should want to be the Kohen Gadol. However, you can't go too far. You're not supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. But all these people want to be the Kohen Gadol. Why do they want to so badly be the Kohen Gadol? What drives them? What drives the soul of the Yid to want to be the Kohen Gadol? Koirach tells us why. He says, "Av kol." He says, "Kol leid la kulam kedoshim." The entire assembly, they're all holy people. Kulam kedoshim. Why, says Rashi, kulam shvamu dvarim b'sinai mipi agvura. The entire Jewish people heard at Sinai the Eibishter himself mipi agvura. Umaduat is not. Therefore, why should you only be the Kohen Gadol? By Matan Torah, the Eibishter said, "Vi'atem tiuli mamlaches koyanim." The Malatur tells us that when the Eibishter promised that the Jewish people be a nation of koyanim, the promise was actually that every Yid will be the Kohen Gadol. There was a Kohen Gadol-like experience over there. Nevertheless, what happened was, is that we became undeserving of this level of the ability for every Yid to be the Kohen Gadol. But at the time of Matan Torah, every Yid had the experience of being Kohen Gadol. And therefore, every Yid has within him this desire to be Kohen Gadol, which is a positive thing, to have the ultimate connection with the divine, to be completely separated from the world. La'avdilei kodesh kadoshim. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, af ani roitze bekach. That's a beautiful, beautiful idea. The Rabbi points out that the parsha is called Koirach. It's not just called Vayikach Koirach. Because Vayikach actually means Koirach separated. Vispele Koirach, Koirach separated. But it's called Koirach. Because, true, we're supposed to learn from the negative aspect of Koirach, V'lo yeka Koirach l'chadase, not to be like Koirach, to be Choylek HaMashe Rabbeinu. However, we also have to learn the positive aspect of Koirach. We have to learn from the wholeness of Koirach. The desire to be Kohen Gadol is also a message to us. There can be the Machlokes. There is only one Kohen Gadol. But the idea of Roitze Bekach, what we have to learn from the entirety of Korach, to desire, we should want to be, we should have the desire of Moshe Rabbeinu, the desire of Korach, the 250 people, the 300 Kohenim, the natural desire of a Yid. Because a Yid at Sinai had the experience of Kohen Gadolah, we have to want to have the experience of Kohen Gadol. It's a whole parsha, the whole Koirach we have to learn from. Bepoil, of course, not everybody could be the Kohen Gadol. We're not supposed to all be Kohen Gadol. We're not allowed to be Kohen Gadol. But we have to want to be the Kohen Gadol. So now, we have a very interesting dichotomy. We're not allowed to be Kohen Gadol, but we have to want to be Kohen Gadol. In the second half here of the Sicha, the Rebbe says, at the same time, there's another avoida. There's the avoida of Shevet Levi. That the Rambam tells us that if one wants, so he says, "V'loy shevet Levi b'levad." Not only the shevet Levi, ala kol ish v'ish, any person asher nod baruch Yisrael, whose spirit lifts him up, behevina madoy, like he bodil, and he wants, and his mind has given him the intelligence to want to separate himself, lamed lifnei Hashem l'shar, so to stand before Hashem and to serve Hashem l'deyas Hashem. So the Eibishter gives him the power to do so, and he says, and such a person actually takes on the Kodesh Kodesh, the Holy of Holy power of the Shevet of Levi. So here we find an interesting thing. With regard to becoming a Levi-like person in Avodah, a Levi-like, every Yid can become Levi-like if his spirit so desires. If his mind guides him, he can become Levi-like. With regard, but he doesn't need to. It's possible, but one doesn't have to aspire to be a Levi in Avodah. with regard to Kahuna Gedoyla, we're saying that Moshe says, Afani Roitza Bekach. In other words, there's a message here to want, to actually want to have the experience of Kohen Gadol. We're supposed to want to have the experience, but we're unable to have it. So the Levi experience in Avoda, we don't need to desire, but we can be obtained. The Kohen Gadol needs to be desired, but can't be obtained. An interesting dichotomy. And here, in Avoda, in our service of Hashem, we're going to understand what this dichotomy is. In the service of Hashem, there are three primary modes of service. There's mitzvahs. What are mitzvahs? Mitzvahs are the work with the world, with the tachtein, uplifting and elevating, refining the tachtein, the world as it is, as the physical world exists, and making it divine, bringing it up towards the divine. Ha'alo. The second modality is Torah. Torah, by its very nature, remains above the natural order, remains above the physical world. Torah, divrei Torah, is not mekabel tuma. So Torah signifies separation, remains above. And the third modality of Avoda is Mesiras Nefesh, which is completely, has no limitations. It cannot be contained in any which way. And it's just complete unity with Hashem. Unbound. So we have unbound unity, Mesiras Nefesh. We have a removed level of modality of service, which is Torah. And then we have the service with the world, which is mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, Torah, Mesiras Nefesh. Among Yidden, we also have these three modalities. Most Yidden are Marei Uvdin Tovin, are masters of good deeds, are mitzvah doers, are involved with the world, have to engage in commerce, have to do with the world. And they uplift the world. They change the physical world. That's their role. There is the Avoda of Shevet Levi, which is separated for the service of Hashem. The teachers of the Jewish people, the Marei Torah, the Torah people, they're separated from the physical experience of the world. And then we have the Avoda of the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has to remain in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim being Yerushalayim has to remain in a state of complete Yira, complete fear and awe of Hashem, which really symbolizes Mesiras Nefesh. The Kohen Gadol is prohibited to leave the Beis HaMikdash. He has to completely and always be connected to the level of Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kohen Gadol is this idea of the Mesiras Nefesh, the Yechid and Yachta, the complete and singular attachment with Hashem. So here we go. So in Avoda, so on the one hand, most people are not Shevet Levi. Most people are Marei Uvdin Tovin. If somebody wants, they can live a life of Torah, of a Shevet Levi-like life, be the teacher of the Jewish people, be removed from the very base experience of life. If somebody wants, one can do that. However, whether one is a Marei Uvdin Tovin, a master of mitzvahs, whether one is a master of Torah, one has to have the desire for Mesiras Nefesh. One has to be motivated, not by themselves, not by their own achievements in life. One has to be motivated by complete self-sacrifice, by complete oneness with the Ebeshah, Mesiris Nefesh. But to live in that complete state, in that wholesome state of constant Mesiris Nefesh, so that's not possible for the regular person. Because the Ebeshter wants that we should have neshama in a guf, in a olam hazeh, and we should be mekayim Torah mitzvahs, and we should serve him. Some people should talk about maru avdum tov. So to actually be in the state of Mesiris Nefesh consistently, that's not the role. But to be driven, to have the roitzeh b'kach, to be driven, to want to have the Mesiris Nefesh, to want to be the Kohen Gadol, that actually lifts up all of the person's deeds. They live for a higher purpose. And if they actually want it, so in a sense they'll be there. And if we actually want it, and we actually try to be there, we'll reach the state where Lasid Lavi will be Koyanim, and we'll actually be Koyanim Gedoylim. Like it says, Ve'atem Koyani Hashem Tikro, in the Gula Hamitis Vashlema, when Moshe and Aaron will be with us. So in summary, the drive of Korach and of his people was not to overthrow Moshe, was not to rule over the Jewish people. It was to want to be a Kohen Gadol. And that's a good thing. The problem is that one has to want to be the Kohen Gadol, but one has to recognize that their job is not to be the Kohen Gadol. So even in Pshat, the desire to be the Kohen Gadol was actually a great thing. And there was a great element and aspect of Korach, both in Pshat and in Soid. Tragically, it ended in a very tragic way because it wasn't properly limited. We have to find the right balance of wanting to be Kohen Gadol while either being a Levi, a teacher of Torah, or being a Yisrael, one of the Marei Uvdin Tov.